Exodus 40, verses 1 through 33, these are God's words. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put in it the ark of the testimony, and partition off the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table, and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand, and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense, before the Ark of the Testimony, and put up a screen, the screen from the door of the, for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. You shall set up the court all round, and hang up the screen at the court gate. And you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it. And you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base, and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron, and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons, and clothe them with the tunics. You shall anoint them, as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did, according to all that Yahweh had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He put the table and the tabernacle meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil, and he set the bread in order upon it before Yahweh, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle, and he lit the lamps before Yahweh, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned sweet incense on it, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen door at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and offered burnt upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. Whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all round the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So in the first half of this reading, we have several bits that when it was describing the people constructing the tabernacle, were bits that have been not left out necessarily, but not included from the instruction that was given on the mountain. So we had the instruction on the mountain of the design of the tabernacle. And then we had the construction, but the construction didn't include the parts of where inside the tabernacle everything went, because the setup came after the construction and the presentation. And so the first half has God recommanding Moses of the setup. He takes all of the commands about the places where everything goes and what they're going to do with it. And he takes all those commands and he puts them together in the first 15 verses of this chapter. And one of the reasons he commands it here a second time is not just because it's important and God is merciful, and he comes to his people who have shown their weakness, their creatureliness, and their sinfulness, and gives them a refresher set of commands in his mercy, but also so that the commands themselves in verses 1 through 15 can be immediately juxtaposed. How many of you have come across the word juxtaposed? Juxtaposition is when you put something right next to something else for the intentionality of how those two things interact. So when you say, this is an interesting juxtaposition, you say, it's interesting that these two things are right next to each other so that we may see them together. So it's kind of joining and positioning, put together, juxtaposed. And the Lord juxtaposes a new set of commands about the placement of the thing with the obedience, because he's highlighting again the obedience. And how do we know that he's highlighting the obedience? Well, he uses a couple of different literary structures that we often find in the Hebrew Bible. The first is meristic chiasm. Actually, I think this is just chiasm, where he begins and ends with the same thing. Thus Moses did according to all that Yahweh commanded him, so he did. And at the end, he says, so Moses finished the work. There's an emphasis here that Moses is faithful in all of Yahweh's house, especially since for the first time, the place of God's presence with his people is being set up. And so this is literally when the book of Hebrews talks about Moses being faithful in all of Yahweh's house. It's very interesting that the book of Hebrews features much on the tabernacle and nothing on the temple. And so Moses is being faithful here in all of Yahweh's house. Moses did according to all that Yahweh commanded him, so he did, verse 16. And then end of verse 33. So Moses finished the work. And then in between those two statements, you have all the setup, and throughout the setup, you have this refrain, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. And that appears seven times, which we have known, particularly since the creation, is a number of completion, and especially of completed and good, acceptable, approved work, just like we heard in last week's portion in chapter 39, that God is the one who finishes and observes, approves, and blesses his work. And so you have something similar here. Moses, as Yahweh had commanded Moses, this faithfulness that is centering, highlighting upon him. And that makes verse 15 even more interesting to us in light of what the book of Hebrews says about Moses being faithful in the house, because the book of Hebrews says that about Moses upon the retirement of the Mosaic system of worship, because the son who is faithful over the house has come. And notice it's the same house. It's not two different houses. There's a house over there with a servant in it, where Moses is faithful and things are administered in the Moses way there. And then there's a different house over here with Jesus over it, and things are administered not in the Moses way in this one, but in the Jesus way in this one. No, it's the same house. Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant in the house, and now in the same house, or to the same house, and even better, over the same house, the Son has come. And so when you read verse 15, talking about Aaron, and this is the Moses administration, the Moses way, while he's a servant in the house, you read about Aaron, you shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. You understand that the word everlasting here doesn't mean everlasting as in their generations of being the priests are never going to end. but that as long as there is the priesthood within the house, rather than the priesthood that is Jesus over the house, it is going to belong to Aaron and his sons. And it did. But Hebrews doesn't it, argue that the priesthood, of the Aaronic priesthood, is over. That there is a priest now from Judah whose priesthood is according to the order of Melchizedek. And that, behold, it's not just unto everlasting, but we realize it's even from everlasting. Because he is without beginning and without end. And he has been representing us even in the covenant of redemption, which is the covenant of grace as it goes back into the Godhead from before the world began. And so, yes, Moses was faithful in the house, and praise God that he was, because it is by God's grace that he was. And you have a sevenfold, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. But it was absolutely necessary that we have a son who is faithful over the house, because we needed a greater Passover than they had back in chapter 12. And the Lord highlights this by the very date upon which he commands them to set it up. Remember back in chapter 12, he was reestablishing their calendar. He said, your New Year's Day is the Passover. You're going to get rid of that calendar you had before. This shall be the first month and the first day of the month for you. Now he comes on the first day of the first month of the second year. It's Passover Day. But here they have a Passover that is not only from the death that would come one time in Egypt, but the death that continually threatens when you have the Holy God in your midst. There was, not that God is ever not there, but there was a special visitation of God at the Passover. And now he's communicating to them, not just by the tabernacle itself, not just by all the furnishings in it, not just by the positionings of it, so that you have the Holy of Holies at the center with the ark and the incense altar and the lamp and the table showing his receiving their prayers and his shining his blessing and his bringing them into fellowship. You have all of these articles of God's presence among them, but he even does it on the first day of the first month of the second year to say there was a great, intense, momentary visitation at the Passover, but now in the tabernacle of God among his people, there is a great, intense, continual visitation in the tabernacle. And how much more when the tabernacling of God among us is in the Lord Jesus himself by his Spirit. And so let us cling to the Son who is faithful over all God's house as high priest. And let us seek to do in his house exactly as he says and exactly as the Son says. Let us rejoice that Jesus has perfectly obeyed in our place. And clinging to him for forgiveness, let us be amazed that God is now continually with us, not in a way that is less than the one night of the Passover, not in a way that is less than the continualness of the tabernacle, but in a way that is more in the continual and forever and spiritual presence to us. Of the Holy Spirit ministering to us, the presence of Christ. This is why, isn't it, that when they came near, particularly in the fellowship with the Lord Jesus that we are supposed to have at the table, and they were coming to fill up on bread and get drunk on wine, that God was killing Corinthians. It was because they were missing the greatness of the presence of the living God to us in Jesus Christ. Let us not miss that greatness. Let us have reverence and awe. But let us also have thankfulness and hope and joy, because we have the Son who is faithful over all of the house. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have given us this portion of your word and interpreted it for us by other scripture so that we could receive the benefit of this juxtaposition and see not just the faithfulness of Moses, which you so highlight here, but especially the faithfulness of your Son Jesus, who is perfect and glorious by comparison. We thank you for the atonement, the Passover, that has put away our sins so that we might be safely and blessedly in your presence. Help us, O Lord, to think and rest much upon what Christ has done in shedding his blood, that we might be able to come to you through him with our sins put away and with him as our righteousness. We thank you for hearing our prayers as incense. We thank you for shining the blessing of your face upon us as light. We thank you for gathering us into fellowship with you as if at the table. We thank you, O God, for dwelling among us, covering us. Help us, O Lord, to perceive the realities of these things. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.